Welcome to episode 480 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we feature writer, producer, storyteller, and winner of 67 Chicago Moth Slams, one of the most highly regarded slam events in the country, Nestor the Boss Gomez. We talk with Nestor about Worry Dolls, his journey from Guatemala to Chicago, Mayan people, the N-word, diminishing people, the moth, blaming immigrants, being optimistic about the people in the United States, labor of slaves to freedom, how your driver has arrived, descendants and allies, among other things. A grand conversation with Nestor the Boss Gomez this go-round. We have an EW essay titled The Other Day. We share some sunbeams on alcohol from the July 2022 edition of The Sun magazine. And we have an EW poem called Honey Crumb Cake. All of this, of course, will be infused, imbued with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It is so nice to be with you. Let's get to it then. Episode 480 of Troubadours and Raconteurs.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh yeah.
If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile because all the while I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles and miles. Advantage of my trust in you when I was so far away. I saw you holding lots of other guys, and now you've got the nerve to say that you still want me. Well, that says maybe, but you gotta stand trial, because all the while I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh yeah.
Deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh yeah.
Eiffel Tower in the toy hall, mine's a seat on the
need a crystal ball to see right through the haze. Well, here's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I can see for miles and miles.
The other day, the world I live in is a tussle of fragrant breezes from all directions, perhaps one of them leading home. The origin of these invisible waves and their indiscriminate juxtaposition is not known, but for what science can tell us, and I'm not sure if there is a bias preceding this human interpretation. It blows nevertheless. What does it mean to be a family man, a husband, a wife, part of a clan, a brother, a sister, a friend, a father, a mother, an uncle, aunt, cousin, a colleague, a boss, your superior, a mentor, an inventor, a pretender, an enemy, inferior, an optimist, a nihilist, gifted and with special needs? The other day, I again entered the fray, as my consciousness predetermined and perceived. I was in the parking lot of a store that sells office supplies, looking at my phone for information and guidance, flipping, sliding, from vibrant bright screen to impulsive live stream. I came across a short video featuring guru, former heavyweight boxing champ Mike Tyson from the borough of Brooklyn. He was talking about how God tests us by giving us everything we want to see if we are strong enough to handle it. This, for some reason, resonates. We fear not getting what we want and losing what we have, not being there for those that we love and respect, not knowing how or not willing to bow. And we fear they will go away. We fear not having them here. Turning around and around, up and down, standing still, sitting obstinate, running away, swallowing the pill. In the grand scheme, as it were, gone tomorrow, yet here today. Why, I wonder, haven't I figured this whole living thing out so as not to stray? On a sphere, circling a sphere, day to day, hot and bright to the core, spirit, soul, and physics, until it is all gone and there is no more, endure.
Willy Rodriguez, on piano. Corro este riesgo, si por alguna
son la vida, miedo. Dile a todos ellos cuánto yo los quiero. Y como un ladrón me tienen corriendo. Esta situación le juro que yo no entiendo. Trabajo día y noche y casi no duermo. ¿Cómo puede ser que aquí sigo yo sufriendo? Sin importarle a este puto gobierno. Porque me fui de mi país, yo no recuerdo. Este no puede ser el American sueño.
Nestor Gomez, is that you?
Jeff, this is me.
It's so nice to have you on Troubadours and Rock on Tours.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, it's great. It's great. And we're talking on the 4th of July, which I think is kind of a good date for us to be meeting each other and talking. You'll see what I mean once we start getting into things. Before we do, let me share some background information about Mr. Gomez. Nestor, a.k.a. The Boss Gomez, was born in Guatemala and moved to Chicago undocumented in the mid-80s. He has won the Chicago Moth Slam 67 times and is a three-time Chicago Moth Grand Slam winner. He is also the creator, producer, curator, and host of 80 Minutes Around the World, a storytelling show that features the stories of immigrants, their descendants, and allies. Troubadours and Rock on Tours is happy to have on the program storyteller extraordinaire Nestor "The Boss" Gomez. Again, thank you for taking time out.
Again, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Well, let's get started with where, you know, it all started for you. How did you end up here doing what you're doing?
Well, I ended up in Chicago because my parents, I was born in Guatemala. So my parents, my family live in Guatemala. And we used to make worry dolls that we used to take to the airport to sell to the tourists that would come to Guatemala and buy them. That's how we made our living. But in the mid-80s, Guatemala was in the middle of a civil war. Being in the middle of a civil war for many years, even after we left the civil war, was still rampant. So tourists were not coming into the country as much, and we started to lose a lot of money, and we couldn't make a living anymore. So my parents decided to emigrate to Chicago. And the plan was for them to emigrate to Chicago, save some money, and then go back to Guatemala and keep the business going. But things continued to get worse in Guatemala. And after about 5 years of being separated from our parents, then they decided to bring us to Chicago undocumented. And we came to Chicago undocumented in the mid-80s.
And that's a fascinating story. And when you said worry dolls, is that what it is?
Yes, worry dolls. Worry dolls are little tiny dolls that a parent gives to the kids whenever the kid has a problem or a worry or a nightmare. And then the kid tells the worry, nightmare, or problem to the doll. They put it underneath the pillow, and then the parent comes in the middle of the night and takes the doll away, taking the worry away. And these are tiny little dolls, as tiny as maybe somebody's finger, the size of somebody's finger, or even half of that. But we used to make them bigger, because the bigger you make them, the more money you make. So and we used to make these dolls and dress them with the attire of the indigenous people, the Mayan people of Guatemala. And like I said, we used to sell them at the airport and the tourist shops. But because of the Civil War, we just couldn't make any more money anymore. And that's when my parents decided to emigrate here.
And I love it. That's a beautiful idea to help your children learn how to deal with, you know, worry, because that's part of life oftentimes, as we both know. Now, so your ancestors, mainly Mayan, would you say? Or is it a mix of maybe some European as well?
I say for my family, it would have to be a mix. I wasn't raised on the Mayan tradition because the Mayans are usually relegated to the countryside, and we used to live in the city. Mayans, although they were the native people, they are the native people of Guatemala, they are not treated fairly. They don't have the voice, the representation in government that they should have. They basically treated as second-class citizens in Guatemala. And all throughout Latin America, and the native people of Latin America are not treated fairly. But in my family, yeah, the ancestry is a mixed ancestry from European to Mayan, Black, African.
Yeah, that's kind of neat, right? You have so much to refer to, so much that's informing who you are, so many different cultures and experiences. I think that I'm from southern Italy myself, Calabria, my family, and there are so many different influences there as well, northern African, European, Greek, and we're all that way, really, if you keep going back, right?
Yes, we all come from, if you go look at the Bible or if you look at the science, we all come from a single source of people that immigrated to different parts of the world. So we all have things in common.
I agree. And you mentioned how the native people are not treated fairly. They're second class citizens in Guatemala. That seems to be a trend across the planet, doesn't it?
Sadly, it is, because even here in the United States, and native people, as we know, we are on stolen land. And native people here are relegated to little pieces of land, and all the treaties and all the pacts that were made with them were never enforced. Native people were taken advantage of, and yeah, they are the true owners, if one can say, of the land, but they are not given that respect.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I just read yesterday, I guess the Supreme Court, you know, they've batten 1,000 lately.
Oh, God.
Let's
not talk about the Supreme Court right now, because, oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Well, they just sent out another ruling that negatively affects the indigenous people here in the United States. Basically, you know, the agreement is that there are social problems. The criminality of activity occurs on reservations will be governed first and foremost by the indigenous people themselves. And now the Supreme Court is saying, well, the federal and state can get more involved. I just, you know, more than before. So they can get their hands into some of the unique matters that indigenous people face. And I don't think the folks that are on those reservations, the indigenous people are happy about it based on the limited reading I've done. So we just continue, as you mentioned, to break treaties, break agreements, and do whatever we want. And you're telling stories, I think. That's what I gather, based on your experience and based on your research, that sort of focuses on these injustices and this, you know, craziness.
Yeah, I tell personal narrative stories, which are things that happened to me in my life that are 99.9% true, to the best of my recollection. So they are stories of my life where I am the main character. I mean, sometimes I do bring, you know, teachers that were in contact with me, brothers, sisters, uncles, mothers that were part of that happening, the thing that was happening during my life that I talk about on my story. And those are like stories that are things that happened to me that as I grow old, I can reflect on what was happening at a certain time and then see how it's related to either my past, my present, or even my future.
So it's helping you just as much, if not more, with the understanding as it, perhaps it is the folks you're sharing the stories with.
Yes. For example, there's a story that I tell about one of my very first days in Chicago as an undocumented immigrant. I'm seeing for the first time an African-American person. And in Guatemala, we have people that were darker, you know, than others. But I never really came into contact with somebody from like African American, like somebody's as dark as the people that live here. So in Guatemala, we refer to those to people like that as Negros, which is the word that was basically the Spanish word for black people. And I remember saying that word to an African American kid, and the kid getting upset at me, and I had no idea why he was upset at me because first I didn't speak English, and I was just. In my understanding at the time of words and the meaning, I was just repeating a word in Spanish that meant black. And then one of my friends explained to me, you know, why my word was upsetting that this kid, because it was very similar to a word that is used here in America, in the United States, to refer to black people in a demeaning way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember in my story, I go back and say how the people in my country are treated, the native people in my country are treated badly, and they are called Indios, which is like basically Indians. And that's a way to refer to Native American people as if they're dumb, if they are hard to understand, if they're lazy. So I make a connection between how the people in my land are treated unfairly and use a word to diminish them, to insult them, to this kid here in the United States and how that word diminishes and insults him. And in the instant I make that connection, and then I realize I have insulted him the same way that people back in our country insulted either me or other people because of our ancestry or because of the color of our skin. And so that was an experience. It was like my first day in one of my first days in Chicago. And at the time, it was a little bit hard for me to understand it. But as you grow older, then you could look back at this experience and understand them in a bigger context. So that's what my stories try to explain or try to teach the audiences. And some stories are you know more funnier than others. Some stories are sadder than others. And the stories about immigration, about family, about work.
How did you realize that you were a storyteller or wanted to become one?
Yeah, I think we are all storytellers. You know, like we all have a bad day at work and we want to vent to somebody and say like, oh, I had this such a bad day at work. My boss was just riding my ass and this and that happened. That's a story on itself. How we tell the story, you know, it takes a little bit of work, how we craft those stories so the audience can relate to the stories better. But I think we are all storytellers. With me, I used to stutter when I was a kid, so I couldn't talk at all. When I was in Guatemala, I could barely talk. And then when we moved to the United States, I was getting over my stuttering little by little, but then because of the shock of the new country, new language, new people, new everything, I started to stutter again. So I became a bilingual stutterer. And I couldn't talk for the longest. Then even when I got married, I was still stuttering. When I got married here in the United States, I was still studying. But because of the fact that I had to provide for my family and I was working, I had to like force myself to talk to people. I was working at a fast food restaurant, so I had to talk to people and I forced myself to start talking. And eventually I got over my stuttering. And let's say I got over my stuttering in a way that I can communicate, that people can understand me, but I still stutter from time to time. So I'm still a stutter, still stutter from time to time. I either repeat one word or a couple of words very fast. I catch myself doing that from time to time, or I get stuck at a word. But what I do now that if I get stuck at a word, like if I'm meant to say house and I can't say house for whatever reason, then I just say the place where I live.
Right.
Uh, So that's a house. So I go around the world at times. So because I couldn't talk, I used to write down all my feelings, all my ideas. I wrote from a very early age, and I wrote a lot of poetry that I in high school here in the United States, I made a goal to write a poem a day. And some of those poems were really bad. Like I have some of them still, and I look at them like, oh my God, this is not even, this is not even a poem. But the fact that I kept writing and writing, it helped me become a writer. And it helped me, I approach my stories like on a very poetic way, you know, because all the stories had to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But so does poetry. Poetry, you can mix and match. You could start at the beginning, or you could start at the middle. And that's the same way that I approach my storytelling. I use a lot of the things that I learned by writing poetry when I tell a story. So in a sad kind of way, that storytelling helped me become a writer.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And excuse me, what age were you when you came to Chicago? And I guess that was in the 80s. So then we could figure out kind of where you're at today.
Yeah, you don't want to do the math. But I was around 15 years old when I came to Chicago. We came in the mid 80s. So I was about around 15 years old, and like I said, I used to stutter. And it took me, although I got over my stuttering a little bit, and I was able to communicate with people, it took me a long time to get over my fear of public speaking.
Yeah, well, you did, obviously. We're talking to writer, producer, storyteller extraordinaire, Nestor the Boss Gomez, from his place in Chicago. And the boss, why the boss? What does that moniker relate to?
Yeah, a lot of people think that the name The Boss is because, oh, I have so many mod storyline victories, and I am the best, or I am like, you know, like the best storyteller. But to me, The Boss doesn't mean like I'm the boss or I'm like the best. To me, the boss, the word boss in English sounds a lot to the word boss in Spanish, which means voice. So I came to this country undocumented. I didn't have a voice. I came to this country with a stutter. I didn't have a voice. I came to this country unable to speak the language because I stuttered and because I didn't know the language, which is English. So I didn't have a voice. In more ways than one, I didn't have a voice. So now I can speak English with a very sexy Latino accent. I'm a USA citizen, and I can speak clearly to people. So in more ways than one, I found my voice. So to me, to be the boss doesn't mean that I'm the best. It means that I have a voice, and that I'm not only that I have a voice, but I'm able to give a voice, a platform to other people to tell their immigration stories. So for a little kid that came to this country without a voice, to be able to find his voice and give other people a voice is a great honor to me. It's a great blessing. And that's why I call myself, or that's why people call me The Boss Gomez.
Oh, I love it. That's great. That's great. Thanks for sharing that insight. Now, when we look at some of the more particular projects that you have under your belt, we talked a bit in the bio about your great success with the Chicago Moth Slam, and I guess is that sort of like a poetry storytelling event?
It's a storytelling event. The Moth is the most famous storytelling event, I would say, in the world. For sure, here in the United States, they have a podcast, they have a radio hour, they have a book on how to tell stories now that just came out due to the 25th anniversary. And it's a very famous storytelling event. There have been storytelling events for years all over Chicago that I wasn't aware of because I was working so much, you know. Also, being able to tell stories and to travel the country telling stories is also a privilege that comes with being able to have a better financial situation. If I was working two or three jobs, I wouldn't have time or even time to write or even time to tell stories. I would be too busy trying to earn a living. But I'm blessed to have a better financial situation now that allows me time to work on my art, on my writing. So the Moth is a very famous storytelling show. They you have to sign up to tell a story. Sometimes they have 10 people on the list, they have 20, sometimes they have 40, depending on the team. And then they take the name out of the hat at random. So sometimes you go to an event that you don't get called, so you don't get to tell a story. And sometimes they pick your name, you go tell a story, and they choose three groups of judges to give a point score to your story, and whoever scored the highest point wins the slam that night.
That's great. And you won 67 times, and then several Grand Slams as well, three-time Grand Slam winner. Very impressive.
You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest.
What about your project that you call 80 Minutes Around the World? Tell us a bit about that, please.
Yes, that project, that show grew from the need. There was an organization in my neighborhood where I live in Chicago, in Rogers Park, that was trying to do a fundraising to help people at risk, communities at risk, women that have been abused, people from the LGBT community, immigrants, refugees, and they were trying to do a fundraising event. So they invited me to the meeting to see what kind of event we could do. And I, since I'm a storyteller, I said, hey, let's do a storytelling event and we bring people from those communities to tell their own stories. Instead of us trying to tell their story, they could come and tell their own stories. So we organized that show, and it went very successful. And I realized then that there were not that many shows in Chicago that focus on the immigration story. And I took the idea and I just went with it. And I just started doing my own show that gives a platform to the stories of immigrants, refugees, their descendants, and allies. Different kind of immigration stories from people from different parts of the world. So people can understand that immigration is not just, we're going to build a wall on the south border and immigration is going to stop. Because people come to this country for different reasons and in different ways. People come to this country, some of people come with papers, with documents. Some people come without documents. Some people come with documents and the documents expire, then they stay over. So there's different reasons why people come and different ways how people arrive to this country. And we want to focus on all those immigration experiences and all those immigration stories so people can understand the immigration story a lot better than they do now.
And that's the whole point of 80 Minutes Around the World.
That's the whole point of 80 Minutes Around the World, to better educate the audience about the realities of the immigration experience. So they could relate on a way to see that people are just trying to come to this country to in search of life, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right. And I'm sure you recall when our former president was running for office, he was talking about this group of people who were converging on the United States, and they were all criminals, and we should be afraid of them just to get people to vote for him. Yes. Such an horrible approach, not close to any resemblance of the truth. So if for that reason, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sadly, as much as we focus on the ex-president, ex-person on the White House, the history of faulting all the problems of the nation on immigrants has also been repeated throughout history. There were laws that were made in California to keep Chinese immigrants from coming into the country. There were laws that were made where they put Japanese people into basically concentration camps. There have been laws in this country all throughout its history, but sadly, the history of the United States is many times whitewashed, and all those instances of abuse just are being covered up. So it's good to not only talk about what's happening in recent years, but also focus on what's been happening throughout history so we could understand. Just like the Native people have been taking advantage of over and over and over again, and the treaties have been ignored. And like you say, even up to now, the Supreme Court is still doing things that affect the Native American population. It's the same thing with the immigrants. Every time there's a little bit of problem in a country, they try to point ways, try to blame communities at risk.
Exactly. And now that leads me to another question. Are you optimistic about your adopted country, though?
I'm optimistic about his people, because the country as a country could go the wrong way, as we've seen it on the last couple of years, as we've seen the Supreme Court going against the will of the people. But I'm more optimistic about the people in the United States of America and the people getting together and fighting for what is right. Just like this country was founded by the labor of slaves. Those slaves finally were able to get their freedom because people fought for that freedom. And although there were laws that were made to keep people in captivity, even after slavery ended, you know, there were a lot of black codes and Jim Crow laws. People still fighting for those laws to be taken away. So I have a lot of faith on the people of the United States, more than I have faith on the government of the United States. Hopefully the government of the United States will truly be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And then we could make the country that is supposed to be.
Oh, and what a magnificent country it would be, right? If we
follow
those very high
ideals, dreams, yes.
Hopefully we're getting there. I remember President Obama saying, you know, and using some of the words that we have in our country since its beginning, trying to create a more perfect union, you know, and just you have to keep trying. You have to keep working at it. Sometimes it's one step forward, two steps back, but you can't stop trying. And there are good people.
Yes, yes. And I don't expect us all to be all love and peace and kumbaya, kumbaya. I mean, there's going to be people that are not going to love me, that are going to hate me for who I am or because of the color of my skin. Fine, those people could live. Yes, you know, I respect your opinion. Just don't try to kill me because of them. So you can have your opinion, I can have mine, and we could all live in peace.
Right, right. Exactly. Live and let live.
Yes.
Wonderful talking to you, Mr. Gomez. And, you know, before you know it, time runs out. So I want to ask you a couple more questions. And we're going to have you on the show again if you want to be on it again, because I could tell we could talk about a lot of stuff. But how about your book? I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your book titled Your Driver Has Arrived.
Yes, thank you for that. I was given the opportunity to put some of my stories together, Uber driving stories, Uber and Lyft driving stories in the city of Chicago as an immigrant. I don't drive as an immigrant. I just happened to be an immigrant that was an Uber and Lyft driver. And because of who I am and because of my ideas or because of the person that I am and the idea that I represent, sometimes I get to drive. I have experiences with people that maybe don't seem eye to eye to my experiences. And sometimes I just have like funny things that happen to me while I'm driving. So I was able to tell one story at the mod that I was actually, it actually played on the mod radio hour about me driving for Uber. And a very impatient old lady gets in the car and she wants to get to the train station at a given time. And as soon as she gets into the car and I put the address on the GPS, the GPS lady told the lady that we're going to be late, you know, that we were supposed to be there at 6. And the GPS lady said, we'll be arriving to your destination at 6:15 p.m. And then the old lady gets mad at me and say, oh, you people are always getting there late. And then I get mad at the GPS lady for telling that old lady that we're going to be late. And I get mad at the old lady for saying you people. So these are things that happen, you know. It's like it just happened to be that when she said you people, I felt offended because like, oh, you mean you people like people of color. But I really, in reality, I didn't know she meant you people of color or you people like you Uber drivers. So I was able to put some of those experiences, some of those stories that happened to me while I was driving for Uber and Lyft into a book, a collection of stories called Your Driver Has Arrived. And we have two editions. We have one edition where you could just read the stories and enjoy them. And we have another edition that is used, it was written only for teachers, for ESL teachers, that they could share the story with the students. And at the end of the story, there are three questions that the teachers can ask the students about the story. So they could create a dialogue and create a lesson from the story. My wife happens to be an amazing English teacher. And she was the one that wrote the stories based on, wrote the questions based on the story. So it has three questions for every story. And it's a book that I'm very proud of.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. How would people be able to get their hands on it?
Yes, they could check my website, NestorGomezStoryteller.com. And as soon as you check my website, there's going to be a little ad that's going to pop up. Boop, if you're interested in my book, here's how you could get it. Once again, that website is NestorGomezStoryteller.com.
Nestor Gomez, the storyteller?
Storyteller.com.
Oh, just Storyteller. NestorGomezStoryteller.com. Yes. All right, great. Are you working on any future projects you want to share?
Yes, we're having a show in Chicago on a little theater called Steppenwolf.
Oh, yeah, I know the Steppenwolf.
The theater is one of the most famous theaters in Chicago, so I'm very happy to be very honored to take our show, our 80 Minutes Around the World Immigration Show, to the Steppenwolf on July 22nd and 23rd. Once again, you could check the website, NestorGomezStoryteller.com, if you are going to be in Chicago or you live in Chicago or have family that live in Chicago that might want to check out our show. NestorGomezStoryteller.com.
And can you tell us a little bit about the show?
Yeah, the show, again, is going to be stories of immigrants, descendants, and allies. We have some of the people that are very famous storytellers in Chicago sharing some of the stories. And we also have people that have never told stories before that are telling the story for the very first time. I think that is always as important to bring the heavy hitters to the show as it's also to give opportunity to new people to tell the stories. Because I was given the opportunity one time when I signed up to tell the story at the mod, and my life changed completely. After 7 years, I have been able to tell stories all over the country. I've been able to tell stories virtually in England and other parts of the world that I never even imagined that I would have an opportunity to do so. So in my show, I love to give opportunity to people to share stories for the very first time as well.
Excellent. And we're just about done this go around. I'd love to talk with you again in the future. Any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would like just to say that, like we say in our show, we say that I hope that we can build bridges instead of building walls.
I love it. Happy Independence Day. We're talking today on the 4th of July, 2022. Nestor Gomez, the boss, writer, producer, storyteller. So nice talking with you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Ciao.
Ciao.
You know, and it gets into this whole issue of border security. You know, who's going to say that the borders are secure? We've got the House and the Senate debating this issue, and it's really astonishing that in a country founded by immigrants, immigrant has somehow become a bad word. So the debate rages on, and
and just like that, it's over. We tend to our wounded, we count our dead.
Black and white soldiers wonder alike if this really means freedom.
Not yet.
I got one job, two job, three when I need them. I got five roommates in this one studio, but I never really see them. And we all came America trying to get a lap dance from Lady Freedom. But now Lady Liberty is acting like Hillary Banks with a prenup.
Banks with a prenup.
Man, I was brave, sailing on graves. Don't think I didn't notice those tombstones disguised as waves. I'm no dummy, here's something funny. You could be an immigrant without risking your lives or crossing these borders with thrifty supplies. All you gotta do is see the world with new eyes.
Immigrants, we get the job done.
Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come.
We get the job done.
Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come.
Immigrants, we get the job done.
It's a hard line when you're an import, baby boy, it's hard times. When you ain't sent for races, feed the belly of the beast with they pitchforks. Rich chores done by the people that get ignored. Ya se armó, ya se despertaron, it's a whole awakening. La alarma ya sonó hace rato, los que quieren buscan, pero nos apodan como vagos. We're the same ones hustling on every level, ten los datos. Walk a mile in our shoes, abróchense los zapatos. I've been scoping y'all dudes, y'all ain't been working like I do. Why y'all work ya? It hurt ya. You claim I'm stealing jobs, oh, Peter Piper claimed he picked them, he just underpaid Pablo. But there ain't a paper trail when you living in the shadows. We America's ghostwriters, the credit's only borrowed. It's a matter of time before the checks all come. But
immigrants, we get the job done.
far right come. Look how far right come. Look how far right come.
We get the job done.
Look how far right come. Look how far right come. Look how far right come.
Immigrants, we get the job.
Not yet.
Borrowed, it's America's ghostwriters. The credits only borrowed, it's America's ghostwriters. America's ghostwriters, America's ghostwriters. The credits only borrowed, borrow America's ghostwriters. The credits only borrowed, it's America's ghostwriters. The credits only borrowed, it's America's ghostwriters. The credits only borrowed, it's
immigrants. We get the job done.
AOA, immigrants, we don't like that. Nah, they don't play. British Empire strikes back. They're beating us like 808s and hi-hats. At our own game of invasion, this ain't Iraq. Who these Fugees, what do they do for me? But contribute new dreams, taxes and tool swagger and brutality. Cool, they flee war zones, but the problem ain't ours. Even if our bombs landed on them like the Mayflower. Buckingham Palace, a Capitol Hill.
And now, some sunbeams from the Sun magazine, its July 2022 edition. Sunbeams are quotes gathered by the magazine under the umbrella of a particular thought. The thought here is alcohol. And here are the sunbeams, the quotes. Alcohol, I had learned, was an eloquent, if somewhat inaccurate, interpreter. I had placed my trust that December night in glass after glass of it, eager not for drink, but for a bit of talk. Monique Truong from the Book of Salt. When a man who is drinking neat gin starts talking about his mother, he is past all argument. C.S. Forrester from the African Queen. The one conclusion I have reached is that whiskey is a great leveler. You might be a hotshot advertising executive or a lowly foundry worker, but if you cannot hold your drink, you are just a drunkard. Vikas Swarup, Q&A. O God, that men should put an enemy in their mouths to steal away their brains. William Shakespeare, Othello. To a drinker, the sensation is real and pure and akin to something spiritual. You seek, in the bottle, you find. Caroline Knapp. That he sometimes felt was why he loved being high so much. Not because it offered an escape from everyday life, as so many people thought, but because it made everyday life seem less everyday. For a brief period, briefer and briefer with each week, the world was splendid and unknown. Hanya Yanagihara from A Little Life. To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. Homer Simpson. The chief reason for drinking is the desire to behave in a certain way and to be able to blame it on alcohol. Mignon McLaughlin. I began to think vodka was my drink at last. It didn't taste like anything, but it went straight down into my stomach like a sword swallower's sword and made me feel powerful and godlike. Sylvia Plath. From The Bell Jar. One drink is too many for me, and 1,000 not enough. Brendan Behan. It shrinks my liver, it pickles my kidneys, but what does it do to my mind? It tosses the sandbags overboard so the balloon can soar. Suddenly I'm above the ordinary, I'm competent, supremely competent. I'm walking a tightrope over Niagara Falls. I'm one of the great ones. I'm Michelangelo molding the beard of Moses. I'm Van Gogh painting pure sunlight. Charles Brackett and Billy Wilder from The Lost Weekend. That men and women can, by physical and chemical means, transcend themselves in a genuinely spiritual way is something which, to the squeamish idealist, seems rather shocking. But, after all, the drug or the physical exercise is not the cause of the spiritual experience. It is only its occasion. Aldous Huxley.
Well, sometimes I go out buzzing and I look across the water and I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your gentle hair and the way you like the dress. I want you to come on over, stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Did you have to go to jail? Put your house on up for sale? Did you get a good lawyer? I hope you didn't catch a thing. I hope you find the right man who'll fix it for you. And now you're shopping and anywhere, change the color of your hair, and are you busy? And did you have to pay that fine that you were dodging all the time? Are you still dizzy? Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your ginger hair and the way you like the dress. I want you to come on over, stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your tender hair and the way you like the dress. Won't you come on over and stop making a fool out of me? Why don't you come on?
Honey crumb cake. Lavender peach honey crumb cake in a tin pan, warm on a tabletop next door, as the woman who made it from scratch is working her wily ways to score and snatch something sexual using her voice and curves and natural allure. Her smooth and hairy moist is put into action until all is together, grabbing for traction in a beaming, beautiful, sweat-glistened lust pile of undulating hearts and limbs. No mind, no sin. Her wondrous buttocks is the ultimate prize as you see it softly rise. The crumb cake tells no lies.
Thank you.
Episode 480 of Troubadours and Rock On Tours, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, Nestor Gomez, The Sun Magazine, and these musical artists: Thelonious Monk, The Who, La Excelencia, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Kanan and Friends, Amy Winehouse, Hayam, Branford Marsalis, and Terrence Blanchard too. And of course, I'd like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. Take care.